Town of Morrow Planning Board, Monday, the 24th of February, 2020.
Before I get us going again, we had a couple of our members who weren't here last month, so again, just what everybody here didn't want to say, thanks to Reed for his support and years of service, and also welcome to Alan. Alan joined us last month, and we threw him right into the deep end of the pool and did well, so I appreciate him. We'll get started with a review of the minutes from January 27th, 2020. I'll give folks a chance to review, refresh, and ask for any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes. It looked really good to me, Trish. I only had one ask for correction. It was on page 2262. It was about a third of the way down. It was Attorney Bittner reviewing the conditions. And item 2 said no livestock with 50 feet of the well, and it probably should have read within 50 feet. And then the only other one, which was very subtle, although probably appreciated the glory, Chairman Jensen on the last page reminded the board members about the training event on February 5th. I can't remember if it was Peter or me, but one of us reminded the board about the February 5th training event. So that was it. Anybody else have
motion accept the minutes as amended?
I have a motion from John, but a second.
Second.
Okay. I'm sorry, hopefully I can hear that.
This was heard was October 21st last year. Mr. Sanders had some, health issues to deal with in the wintertime and was not available, but he's obviously back. And according to my notes, we had just several outstanding items. Chet's been in to see me several times after he got done with his back surgery, and he addressed all the items in the subsequent submission, so I think, the outstanding items that we asked for were submitted, and we scheduled a public hearing.
Did we get anything back from Fairfield County?
I think let me check in the file. I know it was referred. I don't know that we've gotten anything back, though, formally. I don't see anything.
We didn't have anything in the packet, but I wasn't sure. Sometimes you get stuff.
Right. No, we... nothing.
also, at last month's meeting, the board passed a resolution declaring this to be effective action.
Yes.
So we're all set on that.
I think, and going back to the county question, I think they meet Thursday, so we're just a little bit out of
that. Oh, because of the holiday?
Correct.
Gotcha.
I just have some notes from October.
Yes.
And I'm just going back to it. If I missed anything last month, just let me know where it is. We had looked for an erosion control plan, indication of the septic for the existing building, details on the lighting, and the showing the lot consolidation. So I see the septic for the existing building. I see the lot consolidation. Did we get some information on the lights?
Yes, we did.
On here?
Okay. Yep.
So
you gave me a cut sheet of a fixture.
Okay.
That I have here in the file. I just had the sheet.
As far as the erosion control plan, I do recall we were looking at this lot sloped down to where the neighbors, who I believe the neighbors were here.
Tim Dane,
yeah, and it was here. Didn't have any problem with it. So.
Right.
But do we have any idea? Is there a...
It shows a dry well on a storm drain.
See if we're going
well. It shows a retaining wall that we're going to put separating the two areas, the higher and lower area.
Okay, proposed retaining wall, yep.
Mm-hmm.
So will this result then in that new, the extension, I'll call it the new portion of the lot, being more level than it is right now?
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
And what we've been doing as a practical matter, and pretty effective, is when this comes in for building permit, Matt, our driver of the building inspector, looks for an erosion and sediment control plan for things that are under an acre in disturbance, you know, such as, temporary silt fencing, that type of thing.
Yes.
While the ground's under disturbance and the building's being built, and then as the grass is established or the landscaping plan is established, then, you know, those measures are addressed and taken away.
Okay, but those will be part of the building permit, be the requirement?
Yeah, I would just, you know, in any decision, if you were to look towards an approval here, it might be worthy of a condition, just as a reminder that is in the building permit.
Thank you.
So then if I'm understanding properly, you're going to take and grade this, cupping down on the south edge and pushing it down towards the north and make it a level site.
And then bringing in additional fill you need to make it level.
Okay. Assuming that our driveway is not going to be, it's going to be flat, you have on the very north end of this four parking spaces that go right to the boundary line. And it would seem to me that that's probably going to be where your fill has to taper off toward the boundary. So it's possible maybe those four parking spaces are going to end up like in front of the building?
Probably not.
Another question that I had was on the plan here in the northwest corner, it says proposed well. Are you planning on having a well?
We're not going to put a well in.
But if you, what you did is, if you did need to, you were just showing that you could get it.
The setback in between
separation from the center.
Okay.
All right. All right. That's what I thought it was, because it said proposed. It didn't say there's going to be a well here, so I figured it's not going to be showing that.
The hearing was properly noticed.
Speak in favor on behalf of this project. project, and if they were, we'd ask them to state their name and their address for recording purposes. We'd also ask folks to maintain a sense of decorum throughout the process. And with that,
doesn't look like too rough a draft.
I think it's going to be okay.
Okay.
Be that as it may, we still need to go through the process.
Okay.
Board, while we're in the official public hearing, any further questions or pieces of information that we need from Mr. Saunders? I don't think so.
Definitely. Yeah. Sure, can I come to us?
We'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And with that, ask the board what you'd like to do through next before or with this project.
Richard?
Yes.
Mr. Van Tassel?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Mr. Jensen?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I shall agree. The motion carries. Anything else, board, that you'd like to do?
I move to chair one of the members of the board side my honors one together.
There's a motion that the chairman one of the members signed the final mylar in the agenda for Mr. Saunders. Second. Second. Okay. Dr. Perger, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstentions? I believe the motion carries. Thank you.
Good.
Anything else for us?
15 minutes, got to be a good one.
Did you do well? Did you do well?
You know what happens when you get all your ducks in a row?
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know where the...
Wait, we have to call for
him. I'm going to wait. Yeah.
Do you want to move to number three?
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, we can. You want to do that?
Sure.
Or wait for a second. So, at this year's conference a couple weeks back, I sat for a session in the afternoon. I think Eric, you were in that one too. Mike, maybe you were in that one. Peter, you were in that one as well. And what we learned, or what I learned, and then went up to ask one of the presenters afterward was the flow, if you will, of how we conduct our public hearings along with in our current flow, our subsequent seeker review. If there's a, let's say, a type 1 action associated with the parcel, well, typically what we've been doing or what we would do is we would have a public hearing, allow ample opportunity for anybody that might have knowledge about the project to share that with us as a planning board, as well as the applicant, and then from there typically close out the public hearing and then we flow into seeker, right? Well, what was being suggested as a result of some case law a few years back by the town planner from Clifton Park was that we should be doing that just the opposite. We should be conducting the seeker review, making our declaration in whatever direction that might be, and then after that, going into a public hearing. And if something by chance came up as a result of the public hearing, then you always had the ability.
Hey, Matt, it's Jim Martin calling from town hall.
The
planning board is reviewing right now the application for review, and there's no one here.
So what?
Tomorrow morning.
From Jim.
724-7762. Thank you.
So Jim, then I asked for additional information. I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to share this with our attorney. Carla was there as well in a different session. I sent her a note and said, hey, do you know anything about this case law? And she said, know, but I'd like to learn some more. So in any event, we got some information passed along to us, and that was the additional documents that Jim had sent out with a nice narrative describing, you know, in more detail what I just did, and referred to this matter of Kittredge versus the Plains Board for the Town of Liberty. And those documents that went with it and kind of stepped through how that decision or determination was made for the flow of the meeting, so to speak. So, long story short, tonight it didn't really apply to us because we had passed a resolution last month and indicated that the Mr. Saunders did type 2 action. But what Jim and I were talking about, feel free to jump in, Jim, is what we'd like to ask Carla to do is to take a couple of minutes and draft almost like a guidance document or a memorandum for the planning board, for the zoning administrator, as a reference so that we're all on the same page going forward and we have a common understanding of how we should want to conduct ourselves going forward. Because in the course of that conversation, there might have been a shade of gray that we were getting from Carla as to whether we could still continue to do it the way we're doing, and that didn't really feel or sit right. So Jim's going to follow up with Carla and ask her to.
I agree with everything that Ron said. I was not at the conference, but first of all, in my opinion, I thought we had been doing the proper sequence. And I've done this, consulting to other boards, and I was the town staff planner to the town of Queensbury planning board, and that's why we always did it, for any kind of review, whether it was a town board as lead agent or planning board. It was always the public hearing was held first, and then you took up the seeker assessment after that. And we had a few cases even where I've been affiliated with a few cases where we've had a positive declaration and you go off to an impact statement. And the primary reason being is during the period of public comment, you can have instances where either a member of the public or the public or an affected party can retain professional assistance or legal assistance, and in the context of those comments, whether it be from a member of the public or a professional that's been retained, you may gain additional knowledge about the physical conditions, the nature of the project, some element of the project review that can weigh into how you view the level of impact. So that's the primary reason why you look for the public hearing first, so you have the benefit of getting, or at least having the potential for that knowledge to be gained before you take up the assessment form. And I always thought that was a logical sequence. This was news to me, this case law, and I agree with Carla. I think there's reason for pause here and see if there's any additional guidance that perhaps she can provide us and we can keep on the same sequence. Because, I think it's very important to have that opportunity for that kind of input prior to you taking up the assessment form.
I think otherwise we're looking at the assessment, the public hearing, and then we're going to have to pause every time and ask if there's anything that the board feels would want to revisit.
Right. And I just see it making the process awkward more cumbersome, but yeah. Also, you deny yourself the opportunity for that additional information that may be helpful, in the review.
Well, there was also, because when I posed this question to Quicken Park Planner, and obviously I must have looked very perplexed. I said, this doesn't feel right. He said, well, it doesn't feel right. And he didn't necessarily disagree with the way that we had been doing it. Made sense. He said that one of the things that they had started getting into a little bit of a rhythm on was they would almost do more of a polling of the public prior to going into the seeker. So it was a little bit wishy-washy in that sense, because you're not really having
having a public hearing at that point, and yet you're asking for public comment. So it just felt weird. Wanted to get the information, bring it back, share it with all of you. You know, said some of the guys were there. Share it with Carla mostly, so that she could get a chance to digest it, and then at least keep in the loop for where we come out on the backside.
Certainly going to come up, and if you know when the occurrence comes of a controversial project,
right.
You know, and you want, and I know the other thing I'll add to this discussion is, in my experience, you will very rarely, and in the case law I've reviewed over a number of years, you very rarely see a case where you lose a Article 78 on the basis of the quality of your decision. You know, if you think a project is affecting public health and safety or not, that's your role as a planning board. And very rarely are you going to see courts overturn that. Where courts do overturn decisions is where there's a procedural mistake.
Mm-hmm. In this case, that's what.
That's when you see that the decisions are overturned, and this involves procedure.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we are in fact on sound basis, because otherwise we could be exposing ourselves to undue risk with improper procedure.
By doing the seeker process, that you enlighten the public as to what you are potentially considering.
Well, I think that's the basis for the decision that we've seen.
They would be able to hear that and say, "Oh, wait a minute, I have some information that the board doesn't."
If you read through that case law, you might get a little hint of that. Like, it might be meant or intended that you give more of a backdrop or a background to folks in that sense. But it's not necessarily clear that that's the overall intent. Right?
So that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, so I appreciate you letting me grab this, because I've read it already and I thought I got from this. What this case is a subdivision that the public didn't like. All right, they had a public hearing and took in information, and then they closed the public hearing. They did seeker and made certain determinations, and then the case was that the public felt that, or the legal felt that, the public should have had a right to comment on the information decided upon in seeker. So it seemed to me that the easier way to handle this, and I'm not a lawyer, so we'll wait and see what Carla comes up with, but it would seem to me that the way we're doing it makes sense, to collect information from the public that we then use to make determinations, including seeker. But if during the seeker we found information that led to a determination other than a small or no impact, something where we needed to address it, we could always reopen the public hearing, right, after our seeker review and maybe before a determination. Are we able to do that?
We'll table the seeker.
Yeah, I think that's what she said during the presentation.
Table the seeker review.
That you can reopen, that if there's questions or potential comments from the public, you can reopen seeker.
I mean, one way or another.
The other thing I'm thinking, sitting here thinking,
I'm not talking about reopening seeker, I'm talking about reopening public hearing.
The other thing I was thinking, just sitting here procedurally, we could do that, really kind of addresses both concerns, is we could schedule the public hearing, conduct the public hearing, but don't close it.
Right.
And do seeker.
Leave the public hearing open, do seeker, see what that brings, allow additional comment, and then close the hearing after seeker.
I think that keeps you safe within your procedural, because what they're saying is that the public hearing based on seeker is a different public hearing than the one on site.
Because that's kind of best for both worlds, because
right,
that way, you get the public comment before you formally take up seeker, but you don't close it and preclude public comment should something come up in the seeker review that the public wants to comment.
But you can hold the public comment during that period.
Yes.
Say, okay, we're going to take a break from public comment, we're going to do our seeker, and then we'll be looking for further comment
Just not formally closed.
It's still being open, that way you don't have to renotice it or reschedule it. I like that.
So basically it starts and overlaps the seeker, and then you close it at the end of your seeker determination.
Right, after you've done your determination.
Correct.
By resolution.
That might be the best way to do it.
Well, we can run that by Carla too as a potential compromise.
Yeah. And then it wouldn't be too onerous for us, because otherwise it just seems a little wonky, right?
I can tell you it is time consuming to do these hearing notices for Kathy among all the other things she's doing. It does take time. So this would, like you say, preclude the idea we have to do a second set of notices and letters and mailings and all that.
Yeah. The good news is that since I've been involved with this board, every public hearing is closed with Mr. Jensen's question.
Yeah, as a coordinator.
Does anyone know anything we don't know?
Yeah.
So there has always been the opportunity for those in attendance to speak.
Yep. What we're thinking about, though, we're run by council.
Right.
Is it legal to hold a motion and approval of some sort of motion during the public hearing? Because if you haven't closed it, are we in trouble again?
Right.
Oops. What decision are we here to? You mean the determination of
seeker? Of seeker, within the public hearing.
I understand that.
So.
Yeah, that could be a procedural problem. Just want to make sure it's not a procedural problem in that regard.
But can we solve that by not making the determination until we ask for comments within the public hearing, and then when the comments?
But I think what you said at the meeting was that we have to complete seeker prior to.
And then offer an opportunity for the public to comment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a parliament to try to wrap around you.
Well, anyway,
when we advertise, or put out our agenda, someone from the public comes in and asks for information, they're going to come to the meeting. Do they get everything we get?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Carla reminded us, and we've been trying to do better over the last several months, of making sure all materials, as a matter of fact, our applications have been changed, that we want to have electronic submission of all material that comes in paper, so it's posted on the website. So a PDF of whether it's the application, the part one of the seeker, the site plan itself, the large, plan sets, whatever, everything is posted in.
The opportunity exists for any concerned member of the public to review that seeker application before the meeting.
Yeah, and I've had instances where people have come in and looked at the paper file. They're certainly welcome to it. They can't take it away, but they can look at it, in the office. We certainly make that available. And even if they want, copies of stuff, some minor thing, I do make them file a FOIL now to make sure, we're doing that properly. But so it goes through the records clerk. But we do provide copies if they want it through the FOIL process.
So Jim, can you run that past Carla then and see if that's a procedure we can use that meets the case law, but also allows us that?
Well, like Ron said, what I recommend in the culmination of this is that we have a legal opinion from our counsel as to the proper way to go, and then we have a guide to work on.
Thank you, Jim. Any response from Mr. Conner?
No, I just called the survey. That's who I tried to call. I tried calling the surveyor, and I left a voicemail. Van Dusen and Steve's the agent. They were certainly aware this was an agenda item tonight. I left a voicemail for them to call me tomorrow morning. So.
Anything else that you have
tomorrow? Nope. The zoning revision process has started. I'll have drafts for you, I think, next month of drafted articles. We're going to start at the very beginning and just work our way through it, as I promised. And a draft solar law has been done, but it's only in draft form, and I gave it to Carla and the supervisor as the proper protocol there. Once they bless it, it'll be out for further review as well. But that process has started as well.
Thank you. Board, any further?
Yeah, I have a question. And the Coldwell Prisons on Route 9, this is where the Mullen Road.
Across from the dog obedience place.
Yes. We've moved in. I talked to Peter about it. It's okay to do that without a special permit.
Who's this now?
The tow truck business up on Route 9, north of Long Road.
We researched that. Well, I say we. Peter Goldslaw, the code enforcement officer, researched that. He read the minutes. He listened to the tape of the meeting and all that. And it was his opinion that that fell within the approval of that site plan. It was like a general approval. That was one that was just in transition, right? As I was starting, that was finishing up. I wasn't here for the full review.
And I talked to Peter about it.
Mark Reynolds.
Yes. I guess I don't understand that somebody could just come in, do something like that without coming to the planning or.
Well, it's kind of like the other mixed use building down further down Route 9 here as you go towards the interchange where the barber shop is. I forget the name that it came in under. It was a general approval for like a mixed use shopping center or mixed commercial shopping center.
Kind of like five outlets with another.
Right. So the businesses can come and go out of there without an individual site plan review each time. And it's something like that is what it's like, Mike.
I'll tell you something, though. I specifically remember asking that question about the barbershop down there. And we discussed specifically whether or not people would have to come in every time the business wanted to go there. There was no discussion like that at all. I don't know. Maybe I blanked out, but there was no way that conversation occurred. That was supposed to be a business that he was having stuff delivered, and he was turning it around, repackaging it, and shipping it out. Yeah. That was the discussion of the use of that property.
Not a storage
truck.
When he was going to store his work vehicles in the work building with the materials, but he wasn't warehousing materials.
Right.
He and this guy's not warehousing materials either. He's storing his vehicles there.
So all he's doing is storing his tow truck and recovery vehicles in those bays.
Correct. And he said he's a very nice. He was willing to come in with a site plan application. Matter of fact, he had one started to fill out. The tow truck operator. He's a very nice guy. Very cooperative. And he did say, full disclosure, there is occasion where if he gets a vehicle he picks up, you know, it's inoperative or there's been an accident or something like that, it may store there overnight. If he picks it up at 2 a.m., but it's gone the next day, you know, that type of thing. But that's the only instance that would happen.
Well, today I went by there and he was working on one of his trucks. He actually had a service vehicle and it's like they were pulling on a cable and that kind of stuff. So if they're going to be performing work and stuff like that out there, do we need another garage on Route 9? I mean, is that stuff going to be allowed? And what are the hours? I mean, there's residential people around there, including myself, that, you know, is this guy going to be pulling in at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, the reefer's going off and towing the trucks and things like that? I think that needs to be addressed.
I think Peter did. Let me get the parameters, Michael.
Well,
what he set down.
Peter about it, and it doesn't seem right to me.
Right.
Jim, that's
my personal opinion, but
that's in the professional offices, commercial, residential.
I'm not sure about that.
I know the hall one that's coming is up in that, but I didn't know. I think it starts at Bluebird and Norm. And goes all the way up to William Street and Peter Davis. What he was basically telling us when he proposed that was that this is going to be my office. And I'm going to store my truck here because there's not going to be any work done here. Material's going to come in for projects, get loaded on my trucks, and immediately be taken out to where it gets done.
See, the C1 runs up through Lincoln. Yep.
Yeah, Lincoln is just almost across from Merritt.
Yep. It's
okay.
Just past Bluebird.
All right. So then that's into the new, the regular commercial at that point.
I don't think so. I think it's real close right there.
Is it?
It's real close. Yeah, Lincoln is not too far from there.
Yeah, Lincoln is north.
It's very little, right?
Because Lincoln, okay.
I think it's right on the edge of C1. I think I recall being in C1.
No.
But.
So C1 is our one that allows for businesses that are traffic related.
Yeah, servicing highway traffic.
Right.
Yes. But I'll get some more clarification on it from Peter.
And again, I talked to Peter about it. I don't. And then the other thing is, well, by Route 9, next to the old Mr. Bill's here, we got cars being stored.
Well, they're coming. They are coming in. They're coming in the next month.
But most people come before. So what I don't understand is why we allow it to be done when they haven't come here. I mean, if we let everybody do that, because we have a spot in the middle that a guy wants to do some work too. And so, you know, we're seeing this on both ends, and then what's going to happen in the middle here?
Well, I can tell you.
I don't like to see stuff being allowed, you know, like Jeff Sanders.
Well, I can tell you.
Everybody's either got to do it or nobody's.
The problem is, Mike, the only tool we have really, ultimately, is to issue a court appearance ticket. And I can tell you the practical matter, if you go to the judge, you go through that process, first of all, it's 30 days notice to remedy. Then after 30 days, you can issue the ticket. Then once you get actually before the judge, if it doesn't get adjourned several times, I'm just giving you the practicalities here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to the judge, and the judge is going to say, okay, well, this is an action subject to site plan review. Submit your site plan application, and we'll see how this goes. That's what's going to happen as a practical matter.
So what does a person in the public who thinks that there's something wrong do?
Well,
do they go to you for a zoning?
Well, no, they come for a complaint. The complaint's taken, and what we look for as enforcement staff, we look for compliance.
Yeah.
So we're trying to work with a business in this case to get them into compliance. Now,
deem them to be compliant, the only remedy then for a person is to go for it.
Correct. We don't have police power. We can't go there and tell them to stop, and they'll necessarily stop. They can continue on if they want. So I'm not saying it's a perfect system, but it's the one under which we live.
Yeah.
So you know, if a judge orders something, then we have authority. That has real authority. Our ultimate power is to take them to court.
But in that particular case that money brought up, you say they're coming in next month?
Yes.
What's the application?
It is for storage of vehicles. They're not selling them from that site. They're storing them there. They're sold from Carriage Traders.
So it's a Carriage Traders application?
Yes.
But the vehicles that are there are for sale? Or?
No, they're just storage. They are sold from Carriage Traders. They're storing them.
Let me ask that question different. So they've got a couple of different flavors there, right? They have vehicles that are either coming in that they're going to sell, or they've got these transient vehicles that are coming from auction that some might get sold and others might then go right back out. Do you know whether this is a combination or?
No, I don't know. That's a question when they're here.
Because what I would wonder is, everybody now, well, not everybody, but a lot of people will say, hey, I see this Honda Accord on Carriage Traders' website. And so on Sunday, I get a coffee, and I go over, and I look for it. And I go through the main lot, and I don't see it. But then I go over there, and there it is, right? So while it's not officially for sale on their lot, they might list it on the web. So what's the difference, right? So that's what I wondered when I started.
Well, you make a very good point.
And are they just passing through, or are they?
I think that's even moot anyways. That's our commercial, professional, residential. Do we allow warehousing there? That's not our C1 there, for sure.
What?
I don't know if we allow warehousing, which is, as far as I'm concerned, if you're parking a bunch of vehicles that you can sell them someplace else, you're warehousing. I mean, if it's a sales lot.
It is C1. There's a little sliver of C1 north of C3.
Okay, so then a car sales lot would be allowed for that. But would a car warehouse be allowed? Because if you're just storing them there,
I'm fairly certain that warehousing is allowed in C1.
I'm pretty sure there's two, 300 feet from Route 9. I think that's what we've come up with every other project that's been in front of us is 300 feet from Route 9.
Anyway, Jim, it ends up being like a snowball downhill because then I ask the question, well, what about all those cars that are piled up at the old Auto World, you know, or whatever it used to be called on the corner, which aren't officially part of the lot, but there's a pile of them over there too, you know, and they look like they're at various stages.
Starting to look like the other one down the road that's doing this.
Exactly. So, you know, pretty soon you start to get quite a few within a fairly tight radius.
Well, I've seen this happens a lot with car dealerships, especially new car dealers where, you know, they have a inventory of new cars they have to maintain and they don't have enough room on site. Wow. And they have off-site storage.
Yep.
And that's essentially what's happening. And you're right, if somebody wants to buy that, you know, 2001 whatever that's advertised on the web, it's not on the core site and it's up at the Mr. Yep. Bill's site, they drive up there and look at it.
Yep. Sorry, man. Good question.
So what concerned me was is that I just want to make sure everybody's doing things the right way. That's all. And I guess I don't see it that way. I see it differently.
Well, I don't mean this as a... I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. I welcome, you know, if you want to appeal this, you can. And you're not offending me, Mike. I mean, I want to have clarity and I want to make sure we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
If you want to appeal it and don't agree with the determination, it's a reasonable thing to take it to the zoning board. I'm not being trite in saying that.
Yeah.
If you feel that way, I would take it and then it clears it up. The process exists for a reason.
Back to Mark Reynolds.
You're back to the Mark Reynolds.
Yes. So, I mean, if you disagree with that interpretation and you think that's a use that wasn't approved there, let's get to the bottom of it.
Well, that's why I'm asking tonight. It's either it is or it isn't. And you're telling me it is.
The determination that you made is that it is.
But and if you disagree, I welcome that. I'm not saying I got the market corner.
I disagree, but I'm okay with it. Yeah.
All right. But if for future reference, I'm not the least bit offended. I respect the process and go to the zoning board.
I respect your answer. But what I'm concerned about is that we just took the guy from Absolute Auto and said, you know, Is this an auto repair yard, or is this a salvage yard, or what is it? And now we're allowing other cars to come in and wreck cars that are being picked up by a tow truck. Okay? I'm sure they'll wreck. Some could be just broke down.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have leakage and everything else over there. I don't understand why we could tell one guy, no, you can't do it here, but up here you can do it.
We didn't tell Advanced Auto we couldn't.
We told Absolute Auto that he couldn't have a salvage yard.
Well, as I remember, Otto
said he couldn't strip parts off, but he's still storing vehicles there that are going to be salvaged.
Correct. There was an interim period of. There is an interim period there with a short term stay. Saying
I'm
going to
guess that he's got a white flatbed.
Pardon?
The reason I say that is all of a sudden on Fourthville Road, about twice a day, I'm seeing a white flatbed with a couple of cars on it heading down towards Gansburg.
Down the woods.
On a regular scheduled basis.
That's it.
It's got to be him moving it to Scottsdale. Must be he's down either Moats or down the...
My impression is he's taking it very seriously because he went to the trouble to secure
it. Well, he hasn't taken it seriously enough to get any of the cars out from under the power lines. There's still a crack load of them parked under those power lines back there.
Okay.
But he is moving them. I'll give him credit for that.
Anything
else?
No.
I'm all set.
No? I'm going to make Mike very happy to take a motion to return.
You can.
Okay.
Good, thank you for your time.
No, I mean that, Mike. I don't...
Yes,
I think it's a better way to do it rather than just one person making a determination and we have to live with it.
I think having everything out in the open always helps.
Yep. I'm all for it.
Mike, for a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstentions?
Yes.
I'll come to the zoning board and let you know.